Hey everyone, welcome back. Today, we're going to dive into something pretty amazing.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, it's the story of Michael O'Connor, a farmer
Oh, yeah.
here in Arizona who transformed a 3.5-acre parking lot, like literally a parking lot
Oh.
with trailers and old trucks,
Okay.
into this thriving, like biointensive market garden.
That's
I
incredible.
know. Can you imagine like going
Yeah.
from that to like feeding hundreds of people with fresh produce?
Yeah, what a transformation. It's really interesting. You know what really stood out to me about Michael's story is his real focus on what he calls clean food. Like he's completely dedicated to growing chemical-free produce for
Yeah.
his family and for his community.
Right. And that's a big concern these days, you know,
Yeah.
what's in our food?
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's interesting. He even had this funny encounter at the farmer's market where a woman came up to him and was questioning his spray bottle,
Oh, really?
assuming that he was, using some sort of chemical concoction
Right.
when it was just plain water.
Wow. So it just goes to show you how much people are thinking about that now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how does he, I mean, how does he do it? How does he grow so much on a, I mean, it's a decent amount of land,
Right.
but how does he do so much food? You mentioned biointensive gardening.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
So it's basically like it's a method that focuses on maximizing production per square inch.
Okay.
And it's very systematic. Think uniformly sized beds, pathways,
Okay.
is very carefully planned.
So like a grid system or?
Exactly, yeah. And he uses this approach to basically, like I said, make the most of every inch of his land.
Wow.
And it's really incredible to picture during the summer, his farm transforms into what he describes as like a jungle
Oh, wow.
of radishes and beets and turnips and all of these early carrot successions.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So he uses you mentioned something earlier about succession planting. Is
Yeah.
that part of it? How does that work?
Yeah, so succession planting is all about staggering your plantings to ensure you have a continuous harvest
Okay.
throughout the year. So, for example, with lettuce, he'll plant lettuce every week
Oh, wow.
from September to May. And that allows him to harvest fresh lettuce every single week
Oh my gosh.
from October all the way to June.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So much planning
It
involved.
really is like this carefully choreographed dance
Yeah.
of planting and harvesting, constantly adapting to the time and space constraints of the farm.
Yeah, especially with our crazy weather.
Exactly.
So
Yeah.
lettuce seems to be a big deal for him.
Absolutely. In fact, he has the saying, if I put lettuce on a table, I can sell anything else.
Oh, wow.
And even the way he harvests it is interesting. Like he cuts it just above the base
Okay.
to allow for regrowth. So he gets multiple
I
harvests
see. That's
from
pretty,
a single planting.
yeah.
So it's a real testament to his understanding of plant cycles and making the most of everything he grows.
So he's a bit of a businessman too, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Using the lettuce to kind of,
Oh, the guinea pig.
bring people in.
Exactly.
That's great. So earlier you mentioned something about intercropping.
Yes.
What is that? How does that work? What's the benefit of that?
So intercropping is basically the practice of planting different crops together
Okay.
in the same bed. So he'll do things like plant lower value winter crops like kale and broccoli
Okay.
around the edges, and then intercrop them with higher value herbs or roots like cilantro
Okay,
and
right.
radishes down the middle.
I see.
So it allows him to kind of increase the value he gets from each bed, which is really important, especially with small scale farming.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of valuable crops, let's talk about the carrots. I've heard they're so good they make people cry.
I know, right?
What's the deal?
Well, I think it really comes down to, his focus on clean food and nutrient dense soil. Nutrient density just refers to the concentration of vitamins and minerals in food.
Okay.
And when you grow produce without, depleting the soil with chemicals,
Right.
the result is just this depth of flavor that you just don't find in the grocery store.
Wow, so it's really noticeable.
Absolutely.
Like much better.
Oh, yeah. It's all about quality over quantity.
Wow. So, I mean, it sounds like a lot more goes into it than just gardening, though,
Oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, to make all this happen.
Absolutely. He's had to learn all sorts of unexpected skills along the way.
Like what?
Carpentry, plumbing, electrical work.
Oh, wow. So he does it all himself.
Yeah, out of necessity. You
Wow.
know, being a first generation farmer, especially on this scale,
Yeah.
you got to be resourceful.
That's amazing. So beyond the practical skills, I understand he talks about something called shadow. What's that all about?
So Shadow is really about the power of presence on the farm. He believes that daily observation and interaction are absolutely crucial for things like effective pest management,
right,
and just overall success. So by being present, literally casting his shadow over the farm,
I see,
he's able to detect problems early on,
yep,
and respond accordingly.
Yeah, I can see that. So it seems like he's found some good support in the online farming community, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's mentioned being really inspired by people like Curtis Stone, Josh Satin, J.M. Fortier.
Okay.
And Connor Crickmore.
I've heard of some of those.
Yeah. All these folks are, you know, well-respected figures in the world of sustainable agriculture.
Yeah.
And their content has been really helpful for him.
It's great that he's got that support. But even more important is his family. Right.
Absolutely. His family plays a huge role in all of this.
Yeah.
His wife, Paige, is, you know, his rock. She provides unwavering support, contributes to their well-being.
That's awesome.
And then there's this really sweet story about his son, you know, expressing a desire to work alongside him on the farm.
Oh, wow.
When he grows up.
That's awesome.
So it's really beautiful to see, you know, the legacy that he's building.
Yeah, definitely. So I hear he raises chickens, too.
He does, yeah.
Which is kind of a surprise, right?
It was. Initially, he was a little hesitant about, you know, the whole idea of raising animals.
Oh, okay.
But he's come to enjoy it.
Good.
And he focuses on raising them for both eggs and meat and making sure they're treated humanely, fed high-quality feed.
Yeah.
He even shared a story about a coyote attack on his chickens.
Oh, no.
Which kind of highlights, you know, the challenges and the unexpected things that can happen when you're working with nature.
So the pond, that's more than just a water source, right?
It is, yeah. It's a really vital part of the whole ecosystem on the farm.
Yeah. How so?
So not only does it provide irrigation water that's free of, you know, things like chlorine and fluoride.
Right.
Which is great for the plants. Okay.
But it also supports a thriving fish population.
Oh, really?
Which adds another layer of biodiversity to the farm.
Wow. Fish in the pond. What kind?
Well, he's got all sorts. Bluegill, bass, catfish, even some koi.
Koi.
Like the decorative ones.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not just there for show. They actually play a crucial role.
Really?
In maintaining a healthy pond ecosystem.
Okay.
They help control insects.
Okay.
Their waste acts as a natural fertilizer. So it's this beautiful closed loop system.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So it seems like he's got even bigger plans for the future.
He does. He wants to expand the gardens to a full acre.
Okay.
And eventually develop orchards.
Wow.
Which is pretty ambitious.
Yeah, but I bet he can do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look what he's already accomplished.
It's really inspiring to see what he's done with that land.
It really is.
Transforming it into this thriving ecosystem.
Yeah.
It makes you think about what's possible. Absolutely. Yeah. And it really challenges this idea that you need vast amounts of land to create a successful and impactful farm. His story shows that with careful planning, you know, ingenuity, commitment to sustainable practices, you can achieve incredible things even on a smaller scale.
It's really encouraging, especially for, you know, those of us here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like it shows that, you know, creating a connection with your food source and building a more sustainable community is possible no matter where you are.
Absolutely. Every step we take, whether it's starting a small garden, supporting our local farmers markets, or just being more mindful of our food choices, contributes to a better future. His story is a perfect example of think and act locally in action.
Exactly. And if you find value in what we do here at Think and Act Locally, please consider supporting our mission at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. You'll find the link in the show notes.
Now, let's get back to Michael's incredible story. There's so much more to explore. You know, it's interesting to think about. Michael wasn't always a farmer.
Right.
He actually used to be a chauffeur.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Driving VIPs around.
What a change.
Yeah. Talk about a career shift, huh?
I wonder what made him, you know, switch from that fast-paced world to farming.
Well, the pandemic had a big impact.
Okay.
You know, he found himself at home taking care of his kids and realized he was craving something different.
Oh, okay.
You know, like a deeper connection to nature.
Makes sense.
He wanted to create this, you know, healthier environment for his children where they could, you know, fish and hunt and be close to nature.
Right.
Without having to travel far from the city.
Yeah, so the farm was a way to bring all that to his doorstep.
Exactly.
And the pond plays a big part in that, right?
Absolutely.
For his kids.
Yeah, it's not just a water source.
Right.
It's a place where his kids can connect with nature.
Yeah.
You know, fish, observe wildlife, learn about ecosystems.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned before all the skills he had to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, carpentry, plumbing, electrical.
Mm-hmm.
Did he know any of that stuff before?
Nope, not at all.
Wow.
He learned everything as he went.
Really?
Out of necessity, you know? He couldn't afford to hire people for all those jobs, so right. He became a jack of all trades.
That's incredible. Resourceful.
Yeah.
I know he was a bit nervous about, you know,
yeah.
coming into the farming community
yeah.
as a newcomer.
Right.
How was that?
Well, he thought, you know, people might be skeptical.
Oh, okay.
Judge him for his lack of experience.
Yeah.
But it turns out the sustainable agriculture world is super welcoming.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, very supportive. He found a lot of knowledge, encouragement, you know, online
okay.
through interactions with other farmers.
That's great. It seems like a really good community.
Yeah. There's a real sense of camaraderie, shared
yeah.
purpose.
And he's quick to, you know, acknowledge
yeah.
all the people who've inspired him, like you mentioned,
yeah.
Curtis Stone, Josh Satin.
Mm-hmm.
GM40 or Connor Crickmore.
Yeah, it's amazing how accessible this knowledge is now.
Yeah.
You know, thanks to the internet and people willing to share what they know.
That's great. So let's talk about, you know, the people who are benefiting from all of his hard work.
Yeah.
You know, his customers, the farmers market.
Right.
It sounds like it's more than just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Buying produce. It's like an experience.
It is. Remember that story about people crying when they tasted his carrots?
What is that all about?
It's not just about the flavor. It's
yeah.
like it's like they rediscovering something.
Oh,
like
real.
A taste of the past.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah, like a connection to real food.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
And then there's the story about the woman who questioned his spray bottle. You
yeah.
know, she was so used to seeing produce that was just covered in chemicals.
Right.
That she couldn't believe he was using plain water.
It's crazy, right?
It is. It's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it shows how disconnected we've become
yeah.
from how our food is grown.
Exactly. But, you know, Michael's farm is like this beacon of hope.
Yeah.
It shows that things can be different.
Right. Right. And this whole, you know, clean food thing
yeah.
extends to his chickens, too.
It does. Yeah. And remember, he wasn't always gung-ho about having chickens.
Oh, that's right. He was hesitant.
Yeah, the whole idea of caring for animals was daunting.
Yeah.
But he's come to appreciate it.
Okay.
You know, having fresh eggs and meat right there on the farm,
right.
knowing exactly what they eat,
yeah.
how they're treated.
But it comes with challenges, with, right?
Oh, of course. Like that coyote attack.
Oh, yeah.
That was tough.
Yeah, I bet.
Losing any animal is hard.
Mm.
But it's a reminder, you know,
of what?
Of the realities of working with nature.
Right.
You know, there are risks, uncertainties.
Yeah.
Sometimes things happen
mm-hmm.
that you can't control.
I love that story about his son.
Oh, yeah.
Wanting to work on the farm.
It's so sweet.
That's awesome.
It shows that he's not just building a farm.
Yeah.
He's building a legacy.
Yeah.
Passing on these values.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work, respect for nature.
Yeah.
Connection to the land.
It's really inspiring to see, you know,
it is.
The impact he's having.
Yeah.
Not just on his family, but the whole community.
Exactly. And his story really highlights, you know, that sustainable practices can
yeah.
be implemented
oh, yeah.
even on a small scale.
That's a good message for, you
yeah.
know, all of us here trying to think
mm-hmm.
and act locally.
Absolutely.
You know, it starts at the local level.
Yeah, everyone has a role to play.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, starting a small garden,
mm-hmm.
supporting the farmer's market,
mm-hmm.
just being more aware
right,
of
right.
our food choices.
It all makes a difference.
Michael's story is a perfect example of that.
It is. So now let's dive a little deeper into something that was really key to his success.
Okay.
Water.
Okay.
It all started with a really important decision they made when they were looking for their farm. So when Michael and his family were looking for that perfect property,
nice.
You know, to start their farm,
yeah.
they had two main things
okay.
that they wouldn't budge on.
Yeah.
A reliable water source.
Makes sense.
And a house big enough for their family.
Right, especially in Arizona.
Oh, absolutely.
Water is everything.
Yeah, I mean, water is crucial for any kind of farming.
Right.
But especially, you know,
yeah.
for a bio-intensive market garden like his.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So did they find it?
They did. This property had both
Thanks.
A good well and a spacious home.
Right.
But, you know, they didn't stop there.
Oh, really?
They decided to dig a pond.
Wait, they dug a pond themselves?
Yeah. Well, Michael, you know.
I mean, that's a huge project.
Oh, it was a huge undertaking.
Especially when you're just starting out.
He had to learn how to use all this heavy machinery.
Really?
Like an excavator and a bobcat.
Wow.
His brother-in-law helped him out.
Oh, okay.
But still, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
I mean, digging a hole big enough for a pond.
Wow. That's commitment.
It really shows, you know, how dedicated they were.
Yeah, and it wasn't just about, you know, practicality.
No.
It seems like the pond has become this whole ecosystem.
Oh, yeah.
You know, its own little world.
It's amazing. It's teeming with life.
Like what?
Oh, you know, bluegill, bass catfish, even koi.
Koi.
Yeah.
Like the ones people have in their backyard ponds.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know they could live in a farm pond.
Well, they seem to be doing great.
Wow.
And they have a purpose, too.
What's that?
They help keep the pond healthy.
Oh, good.
By controlling insects and their waste. That's natural fertilizer for the garden.
So it all works together.
Exactly. It's this beautiful closed loop system.
That's amazing.
The fish help the pond.
Mm-hmm.
The pond provides water for the garden.
Yeah.
And the fish waste nourishes the plants.
It's like a perfect little cycle.
It really is.
It's just amazing to me how he took this parking lot.
Whoa.
And turned it into this, like, vibrant, productive place.
It shows you don't need a ton of land or resources to make a difference.
And his advice to, you know, aspiring gardeners, farmers, is just start.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just dive in and learn as you go.
Which is what, you know,
exactly.
Think and act locally is all about.
Absolutely.
Empowering people to take action.
You know, no matter how small, whether it's planting some herbs or supporting your local farmers, it all adds up.
It all matters.
Michael's story proves that.
It does.
Positive change is possible.
Well, this has been such an inspiring deep dive into Michael O'Connor's journey.
Yeah.
For those of you in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena looking to, you know, make a difference, check out our website.
Yes.
ThinkAndActLocally.com.
Lots of resources there.
Yeah, tons of resources, inspiration.
And if you love what we do here at Think and Act Locally, consider donating.
Yep, ThinkAndActLocally.com/donate.
The link is in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Helps us keep bringing you these stories.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And until next time, keep thinking and acting locally.